Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
We struggle just with the normal humanity of life. And perhaps every time you come in here, you're not so glad, and you might be down, you might be under, and so on. But we're going to learn some principles from the life of David this morning that will help us to have a right perspective of what we're doing here today. And so that's what I'd like to accomplish with the Lord's help. And so you're at Psalm 122. Psalm 122 in verse number 1, and I want you to read this first verse out loud with me, and I'll continue on from there. But ready, begin. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's say that together. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We should still do that. God is not done with his chosen people. He still has a plan for them, and we ought to pray for the peace and ultimately that they would accept the Prince of Peace, who is their peace, and that is Jesus Christ. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem, verse 6, they shall prosper that love thee. They shall prosper that love thee. Do you still believe the Bible's true? Amen. Right? You know that those nations that bless Israel, God put a special promise in, they shall prosper that love thee. You should not bow knee to the rise of anti-Semitism, to the disparaging of Israel. Woe is to the nation that does that. Woe is to the nation. In fact, so much woe, and this isn't a part of the message today, but God himself, Jesus, will come from heaven when all the armies of the world have encamped against Israel in the Battle of Armageddon. He will show what he truly thinks about that. And so we do well to continue to pray for the peace and love Israel. Peace, verse 7, within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will say now, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Because of what God is doing there and all that he has planned to do there, I'll seek thy good. Let's pray. Father, would you bless our time in the Word this morning? Thank you for the praises that we've been able to give to you this morning. Thank you for giving us voices with which to raise and to say thank you. And Lord, we fall quite short of being able to express in words your glory and how much praise you deserve. Words can never say it like we need to. But Lord, thank you for allowing us with our feeble efforts to just give praise back to you. Thank you for accepting glory from your church and praise from your church. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we're around your throne and that we'll be able to praise you throughout endless ages. We look forward to that. Help us to continue to praise you here. And Lord, I pray that we truly understand what you've given to us, this beautiful thing called church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. So, no doubt you have maybe a bucket list of places you'd like to visit. I have been following and mentioned to Brother Rob here before the service. They took a trip out west, and there's probably some bucket list items there, Brother Rob, that you got to check off. You are at Pike's Peak and so on. But it's some beautiful places out there. Maybe you have some places that you'd like to go visit, and places that would genuinely put a smile on your face. You'd feel like, ah, man, finally, this is so beautiful. Maybe it's the scenes. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon before? Right? I have not yet been to the Grand Canyon. I look forward to that day. But, pictures do it a little bit of justice there, allowing you to see the vastness of God's creation, the vastness of those canyons, how that God created all that or allowed that that to be. What a beautiful, beautiful place. Perhaps the Caribbean. How many of you have taken a cruise to the Caribbean or been in the Caribbean? Less. Now, if you went to Grenada, Come on now, where's the Grenada, folks? You went down into the, you went down there, and we got to see the sun setting on the ocean there, the vast ocean. What a beautiful, beautiful place that it was. And just to see the sun setting over nothing but water. How beautiful, beautiful that that was. Have any of you been to Africa and maybe taken a safari? You have? Anyone else? A few over here? What an amazing thing to see those animals up close. Now, have you been to the wilds in Ohio? Anyone been there? I think it fails to come close to what an African safari might be. We were out there for a long, long while. I think it was a three-hour little bus ride out there, and we saw some animals, but not very many. And it was fun. We did get to see the rhinos a little bit up too close, but you know it falls short. But you have some of these things that maybe on our list, places that we'd love to go. Places that might bring a little bit of happiness. Maybe it's a desert place. Jesus speaks about going into a desert place where he could find rest. He called the disciples into those desert places to find rest and recalibration, some rejuvenation in God's creation, rejuvenation in prayer. And certainly there's some places that will bring a smile to our heart and to our face. And even some rejuvenation, just being there alone with God or alone with your family and just getting some time apart. A wonderful thing. But I feel sometimes that we take for granted, and even our culture makes sometimes it difficult for us to really truly appreciate what God has given to us in this thing called church, in this gathering of saints together. Now, I need to give a preface here this morning, because when David was writing this psalm, he was writing this psalm as an individual that went to the temple, or in his case, the tabernacle, to worship. And that's where God allowed his glory. This boggles my mind, that God would place his glory in a tent or in a building. The Shekinah glory of God, his presence being there. There are sometimes his presence so filled the tent that those high priests were not even able to be in there because it so filled the tent. Now, we fast forward to the New Testament. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I are the place that God chooses to inhabit, which is mind-boggling. Truly, Paul came close in penning down these words that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You're made of clay. You're made of dirt. Don't you feel good about that this morning? Right? But God has placed himself, his Holy Spirit, in our lives, and as real as the presence in the tabernacle that David would go to and worship the Lord, and that the high priest could not enter into the holies of holies if he had not confessed every one of his sins, that same presence, God says, dwells in us. That is truly amazing. You are privileged. You are blessed. And that opportunity is open to all men who will believe on Jesus Christ. So when David is talking about going up to the house of the Lord, he's talking about going to a location. When you and I are talking about going to the house of the Lord, the Bible does still say in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, the church of the living God, which is the house of God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And God still calls the assembling of his saints together the house of God, the house of the Lord. And so while this building is not the house of the Lord, it is the place that we gather together as his people. But friends, if we gathered out together on the field, that would be the house of the Lord in the sense that there's the assembling of the saints together. And so help me jump to the New Testament application of this, which is that you and I collectively gathering together, God calls that the house of the Lord. David's speaking about going together with his friends and with all of those that love the Lord up to the house to worship the Lord. And we can gain a lot of insight from what he says drew him there, why that made him glad every time he was invited to go up there, why it made his heart glad. The other thing I want to say by introduction here this morning is Psalm 122. If you look at the front end of the psalm, a song, you see the title there? A song of degrees of David. Degrees. How many of you have done any roofing? Right? You know that there's different degrees of an angle and so on. We're talking about a psalm of ascent, a psalm of scaling. Okay, the idea was these psalms were written to be used when they were collectively going up to the house of the Lord. Now, Jerusalem today is much larger than it was in the time David was writing. Who built the temple? You got it. Good Bible scholars here this morning. And so David prepared for it to be built. David wanted to build it, but it was Solomon, his son, that actually built it. So before, in David's time, Jerusalem looked a bit different. Obviously, in David's time, it was still very wealthy. There were statements about, in David's time, that the silver on the streets were paved with silver. He was very well-to-do. It wasn't actual. It's just kind of a term. Jerusalem was very blessed even in David's time, and immensely more blessed during Solomon's time. But if you'll notice there, and I hope that you can see this well enough this morning, this sketch of Jerusalem, you see number four there? You all see that with me? Number four would have been where David's palace would have been, and the rest of Jerusalem. And I don't have a picture today of all of Jerusalem. I don't believe I do anyway. And number three was Mount Moriah, and where the tabernacle would have been on. So when we speak, even in Jesus' time, when there was the Temple Mount, where Solomon's temple and the rebuilding of the temple would have happened, Herod's temple there, they speak of going up to Jerusalem. Even though Jericho, you came south, but you went up to Jerusalem. What's being spoken of is on this mountain is where they would scale, they would go up. And so here we have a psalm of ascent, or a psalm of degrees, that they would go up and they would sing on their way up. And they would make joyful noises to the Lord as they traveled up to the house of the Lord. And so David says here, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Why was David glad? Let's pull apart this verse for a few moments here today, and then pull in some other psalms where David spoke about his love for the house of the Lord and for the word of God. First of all, David was glad to go up to the house of the Lord because his heart was there. I want us to look at verse number one there again. I was glad. I was glad. And here it is that David's heart was there at the house of the Lord. He wanted to be there. I was glad. This evoked emotion in him. When they thought about going up to the house of the Lord, he was glad in his heart. Psalm 84 and verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Crieth out for the living God. Have you ever heard the statement, home is where the heart is? Home is where the heart is? Well, David's heart was moved. David's heart was blessed by going up to the house of the Lord. It wasn't something that was a duty. It was something that pulled him. He wanted to be there. David's heart dwelled in the house of the Lord. He said, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I want to be there. You know, the tabernacle's beautiful. It's not like, it's not an amazing edifice. It's just a beautiful place to be because my heart's there. I want to be there in the presence of the Lord. He says, longeth. What a strong desire is presented in that word. Longeth, longeth. Do you long for the assembly of the saints? Do you long for the gathering of the believers together? Yes, he says even fainteth. It comes to an end. It feels like I'm wasting away waiting for that moment at the house of the Lord. His body, his heart, his soul was all involved in crying out to the Lord. I'm longing for him. I'm fainting for him. I even feel a faintness in my heart because I'm not there yet. What a great thing. Can you get in your mind's eye the picture of a crying baby? Like just full on. Just face, legs kicking. Can you get this picture? You with me? Like fully crying. There's a sense here. David is in every inch of his body. My heart longeth. I'm wasting away. I'm even fainting for this love for the house of the Lord. I want to be there. And you say, man, that's kind of dramatic. Isn't that just poetic? No, friends, there is something very real. There's needs that are very real and met in the assembly of the saints together. When we are allowing it to be what God intended it to be, when we're allowing ourselves to be in fellowship with God and fellowship with one another, There is such a there's such a calling in our heart, a raging desire, as David presents here, to be in the house of the Lord. It was a raging desire for David. It included all that was in him, from his heart and even that faintness in his body. I want to be there. I want to be there. Now, this wasn't just a desire for David. David had valued this, the house of the Lord, over other things. I want you to notice this. David had a right value, not just a raging desire, a right value. In Psalm 84 and verse number 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Did you catch that? A day in thy courts, a day at thy house, a day up there around the tabernacle is better than 1,000. "And I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness." There is a value system that David is presenting there. A value system. We all have them. We all have things that we value more than others. Some of you value certain sodas or pops, as we say in our home. Not soda, pops. How many of you are with, you call it pop? How many of you call it soda? Okay. And how many say, "I don't care"? Okay. That's sort of where I am. But in different parts of the country, call it different things. But some of you have a value system as to what you drink. I drink only water. You know, you very, very healthy folks, and I commend you. But you have a value system for everything. You have a value system for your time, what you spend your time on. You have a value system. Your checkbook and my checkbook, actually, checkbook. Right, there is checkbook still in existence. And I realize the older crowd here, the more mature crowd, says, "Yes, Pastor, we still use checkbooks." Okay, but nonetheless, wherever you put in your money or expend your money, it shows our value system, doesn't it? Doesn't it? So we all have value systems. David had a value system, and here he says, "I'd rather be a day in God's house than 1,000 anywhere else," and specifically 1,000 out with the world. He says, "I'd rather spend 24 hours at God's house than 2.5 years somewhere else." That's an incredible value system. That's an incredible amount of valuing of the house of God and the presence of God. "I'd rather be a day in God's house," and a day in God's house is the best. Notice that he says, concerning his value system and his activity and his preferences, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper there." Most people, when they think of serving the Lord, they may not think first and foremost, "I just want to hold open the door for other people." But David said, "I'd rather be the one who opens and shuts the door and stands at the door and watches the worship happening inside and watch others go about their business and praising the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather have a servant's position at the house of the Lord than have an abundance amount of time in the places that the world and the wicked gather together." That's pretty amazing. Because David is literally saying, as a king, as an individual who had servants waiting on him, "I'd rather stoop, I'd rather be humbled, I'd rather take the place of a servant at the house of the Lord than to have all the time in the world out there." Friends, I'm telling you, we live in a day where our culture is constantly saying it's better to spend 1,000 days out in tents of wickedness. You are missing out. You are missing out. This whole church thing, you are missing out on your weekend. You're missing out by gathering together. You're missing out. You know what? You're not missing this on this morning. You're not missing a hangover. You're not missing wondering where you were last night. You're not missing another broken relationship because you did something last night that you didn't remember and didn't even have the presence of mind because you're high in drugs. You see, the world convolutes so much, and they say, "Well, you know, it's really great. It's really living just to be able to be free and do whatever you want to do and go wherever you want to go and hang out where you want to hang out." But you that are Christians, you have to go to church And boy, what a bore. What a worthless thing to do with your time. And don't you know you could be sleeping in? Right? And there's all these different statements that come. The culture is constantly calling us away. And friends, let me encourage you. Many believers can get swept away. Yes, even you can get swept away in loving the things of the world rather than loving the things of the Lord. And God told us through John, who was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he loved him so very dearly. God told us through him, 1 John 2 and verse number 15, love not the world. Let's say that together. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He's saying to us, do you realize that a life of loving the world is incongruent with God? It doesn't match up. There's something out of whack. So as a believer, shun this life of loving the world and choose rather to love the things of the Lord. There are people that will say, oh yeah, I love God, but they don't give time to the things of God. They don't give time to the gathering of God's people. They have a take it or leave it attitude towards these things. Well, I can worship God, and I can be a Christian without going to church. You know, I wonder how that would work in marriages. You know, I can be married and not spend any time. I can be married and just go weeks and weeks on end without showing up. How does that work? Help me out here. Don't get quiet on me now. How does it work? It doesn't work. Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25 that husbands, here we are, wives, are you ready for an amen? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you know if you love Jesus and if I love Jesus, I will love what he loves. And you know what? He loves this. He loves the assembling of his saints together. And he did not say that his saints were perfect. And you and I ought to banish the thought, I'm going to find a perfect church with no problems, with perfect people in them. No, Jesus loves the imperfections of even us, and he's helping us. One day we'll all be glorified, we'll all be made like into his image, and that'll be a wonderful day, but we're not there yet. Say this with me. I'm still under construction. Say it. I'm still under construction. That's the reality. We're on a journey. And that shows up in church life. But the reality is some people will say, you know, I just don't have time for that. I've been burned. You and I, how many times do you get burned going through a McDonald's drive-thru? They forgot the hamburger. But you go back again and again. Even Chick-fil-A messes it up sometimes. Shock of shocks. And sometimes they don't add a sandwich or whatever. And now I've had that happen where I came home with one less sandwich than I ordered or whatever. And you know what? We go back. Some people handle the body of Christ and the assembly of the saints. Oh, I was hurt once. I'm never going back for the rest of my life. Well, hold on. You are literally turning your back. You are neglecting something that Jesus himself very much loves. Wow. So we need to have a right value system when it comes to the things of the Lord. This isn't just some man came up with this idea that believers would gather together on Sundays and they would worship, and we can disband this whole idea because it doesn't seem to work in our culture or whatever. No, Jesus was the one who designed this. And he was also the one that told us in Hebrews 10 and verse number 25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's something truly wonderful about gathering together and going through the aches and pains and the growing pains of all of us being shaped more into his likeness. And you know what? You and I get to help each other in that process. And sometimes that looks like us going to one another, dealing with problems or bringing up problems that happen so that it can be fixed. We don't bring up problems to throw mud against the wall. We bring up problems to bring them to a resolution. David had a right value system. He wanted to be in the house of the Lord. He longed to be there, and this was his heart. We have gotten in a day that there is just a very take-it-or-leave-it attitude, well, the culture demands me to be away, I would urge you to do whatever you can, especially as you step into jobs, realize that schedules, people are working around the clock, some jobs prohibit this. Some jobs, I think of those that are involved in the community safety, some jobs, they were required to be on Sundays. But if you can at all possible, do not take the option, well, it's just more convenient to work on Sunday. Take the option, I'm going to do whatever I possibly can to set aside that day for the Lord. Do you all agree with me on that? Now, sometimes it's beyond our ability. I was even blessed this past week to see one of the Supreme Court decisions. One was for a man that wanted to be off on Sunday. That was a pretty monumental case. By the way, that affects you in the way that you stand up. Sometimes it's just a question. Sometimes it's just a statement, hey, I'm coming, but Sundays are very important to me, not just because I want to be off and hanging out, but I go to church and I worship God with the rest of the believers, and I really want to protect that. So let's not let a culture change our value system, I guess is what I'm getting at. Obviously, there's more than just being general in that. There's some specific cases and work scenarios, I understand. But the reality is our heart ought to have the value system. I want to be in the assembly of the saints together. Have you ever heard of the president who was just president for a day? Yeah. President James Polk spent his last day in office March 3rd, 1849. At midnight, Polk was out of office, but his successor, General Zachary Taylor, a staunch churchgoer, refused to be sworn in until March 4th, 1849, because it was a Sunday. And so he decided that he would go to church, and his statement was, going to church was a higher priority than becoming president of the United States. Don't you long for those days again? We have some presidents, both sides of the aisle, that need to find a church. So there was a man, U.S. Senator David Acheson of Missouri, who was president pro tempore of the USA for one day. There's your history lesson. But it reminds us there are some people in high office even that say, hey, church is important, even more important than all the demands around us. I shared with you when Sheila and I were up in Washington, D.C. earlier this year, we got to spend a little bit of time on the House floor of Representatives, and it was a wonderful time to look at all the history involved in that that room. There was no pictures allowed. I wish so bad that I could have gotten some pictures, but it was overwhelming. It's a lot smaller than one would think, but the highlight of being in there that night was being in there with two elected political officials, one being Senator Tim Scott, and the other being Mike Johnson, Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana. But particularly, Brother Tim Scott stood out to me, and I've heard his testimony in person before, and what stood out to me is he said, hey, pastors, I want you to know you hold a higher position than I do as a senator of the United States. And he says, thereby and because of that, I want to pray for you. And he reminded us that in that very hall, there used to be church services held on Sundays. The People's House was opened for worshipers to come. They used it as a place, a meeting place, and many of the early politicians and elected officials would gather in that place and worship God on Sundays. What an amazing thing. Even in the atrium, in the rotunda, they would worship the Lord there, and thousands of people would gather on Sundays in that place to worship the Lord. I'm saying we have come so far from a right value system of this. There used to be a respect for gathering together. Now pastors have to call. Pastors have to push and feel like we have to sell Sundays. I don't want to sell a Sunday. I do not want to sell a Sunday night. I do not want to have to sell Wednesday nights. But friends, the church doors are open, and I'm calling you as Grace Baptist Church to have a right value system about the assembly of the saints. You do not want every time me to have to say, well, we got this exciting thing. Sometimes things happen in services. On this past Wednesday night, you realize we had a group that came through. I knew this evangelist. Beautiful singing if you were here. But friends, you never know what's going to happen when we gather together. Believe it or not, some things just happen. Some things just happen. Messages that are going to be really helpful to you happen. And friends, when you and I don't value the gathering of the saints together, you can say, well, wait a minute, I didn't hear about that. I didn't hear about that. And if coming to church just to hear a family sing would have made you come to sing instead of getting under the Word of God, you got a problem. You got a value system problem. We need to value what God has ordained in the gathering of the church together. We need to value this and say, unless I'm sick, unless I am withheld, I will be in the house of the Lord gathering together with God's people. So David had a right value system. His friends were there as well. His friends were there as well, not just his heart. He says, let us go. He's saying to the rest of his fellow countrymen and those that he made business with and those that he hung out with, let us go into the house of the Lord. And they're the ones calling out unto him. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us walk up to the house of the Lord. There was a kindred company there. There was a kindred company. Have you ever heard of having kindred hearts with somebody? Like, we're on the same page. Like, we actually enjoy hanging out together. There was a kindred company that gathered there. Psalm 119 and verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Psalm 55, verse number 14. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked into the house of God in company. Now, in that passage of Scripture, he's talking about some friends that had turned on him. And it really hurt because they used to walk to the house of the Lord together. Sometimes those are real hurts. I used to gather with them together in worship to the Lord. We used to assemble together, and that's a very difficult thing. David mourned about that. But nonetheless, there was a reality that, hey, we took sweet counsel together, we walked together, we enjoyed this together, and there's something very, very beautiful about friends gathering together in the assembly of the saints. There's something special about that. My encouragement to you is let this be your kindred company. Sometimes I watch this happen. People will get saved, and they'll keep all their outside friends, which is good and needed in the sense of winning them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't all of a sudden go AWOL on those folks that God has given you influence in. That's your mission field. But your appetite for the same entertainment changes. So what happens? Well, we don't go drinking anymore, so I don't know how to hang out. Find ways to invite them to your house to be able to showcase what Jesus is doing in your life. But the reality is sometimes people hold on to everything that's going on outside, all their association, all the things that pull them away from the things of the Lord, and they run into church, they put in their time, and then they run back out to that for the rest of the week. And they wonder why they don't grow. And then they ask questions, well, why isn't the church really meeting my needs? You get out of it what you put into it. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, Pastor, you don't challenge me. And I say, you know, for the last several years, I've been in the pulpit every single service, and I've not seen you in the pews. I've not seen you gathering under the preaching of the word. How can you say you've not been challenged when you've not been there to be challenged? Am I meddling a little bit? This is the reality. And people to have a take it or leave it attitude. No, we ought to want to be here. Why? Because our friends are there. Now, the Bible tells us, he that hath friends, help me out here if you know this, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, I went into church and I don't have friends there. Well, have you been a friend? Have you extended your hand? Have you stood around to talk? We all know what it's like to be in an awkward moment where we don't have a conversation to be involved in. We're kind of standing there. Believe it or not, I have those once in a while, like maybe not so once in a while. Okay, not in that conversation, not in this conversation. What do I do? What do I do with myself? Okay, we've all been there. But friends, can we all just make a pact that we'll do our very best to include one another in conversations and make it easy for friends to be made here? So here's how we do this. I'm going training on you right now. Here's how we do this. You're in a conversation with one other person. You see someone standing alone. You step back, widen that circle, and say, hey, we were just talking about, you're welcome to join our conversation. Can we all do that? Can we work on that? And be a friendly, including church. And maybe it's someone that you don't know really well. Step back especially and say, hey, we were just talking about, what's your name? We haven't met yet. You're welcome in our conversation. And a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You cannot expect to have a bunch of friends at church when you're hardly here. You can't. You get out of it what you put into it. There's a kindred company. You need to develop and cultivate that kindred spirit. And I challenge you in that way. Church will make you glad when you're walking in and like, oh man, I can't wait to catch up with them. Can't wait to encourage them. We are going to pray together, no doubt today. And there's a kindred company that has been developed in this place. And that takes work, especially in our culture. Why? Because you and I live so much distinct and individual lives. So it might mean you need to gather together during the week for some fellowship. Go out to eat together. Get a cup of coffee together. Make sure that you're keeping the communication highways going throughout the week. You're going to have to work extra hard. If you expect everything to come to you, but you're not putting in, that is a consumeristic mentality that has infiltrated your Christianity. And it needs to be set aside. You need to put in something. Invest in the life of the church. Look around. Think in your mind, who can I invest in this week in this church? Who can I show myself friendly to this week? Who can I pray for and let them know I'm praying for this week? You say, well, no one's reached out to me. Have you reached out? Are you a believer with Jesus Christ dwelling within you? You reach out. You get a phone number this week before you leave and develop that kindred company. David was glad because he got to go up with his kindred company. The early church, Acts 2:42, what Brother Mike read this morning, and they continued steadfastly. Who was they? Well, it was all those that had received Christ plus the 120 that had been in the upper room. And so they continued steadfastly. This massive church that has had massive growth continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, partnering together, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 46, and continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Wait a minute. It did just say, continuing daily. Well, you guys go to church way too much. Three times a week. Man, you know our culture has conditioned us. One time, that's enough. Our culture has also conditioned us, if that's not convenient, go on Saturday nights now. Do we all remember why we meet together on Sundays? Do we all remember? Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. And every Sunday we gather together, we are celebrating the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need the world who is constantly pressing us. I'm not saying we can't meet another time, but we're not doing away with Sunday worship because it's inconvenient. And I have more of our weekend to do what we need to do. And let's tuck it in on Saturday night. Friends, you see how much Satan pulls and pulls us away to the things of the world? We give this day to God delightfully. So they continued daily and with one accord, breaking bread from house to house. They were fellowshipping in their houses and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. It should be evident that there's a friendship, there's a kindred spirit, like David enjoyed going up to the house of the Lord. But notice also in Psalm 122 and verse 1, there was a blessed invitation. David found it to be a blessed invitation when he heard from his friends, let's go up. Let's go up. When he heard that he was invited, he did not get defensive. Well, you just worry about you and I'll worry about me. No, he didn't get defensive about that invitation. He welcomed the invitation. Can I encourage you to welcome the invitation back to church? Can I encourage you to welcome the exhortation? Hey, where were you? I encourage you to gather with the saints. That is perfectly right. In fact, the Bible told us to provoke one another to love and to good works, didn't he? And so David welcomed that invitation. He did not get offended at it. He was cheered up by it. Scott Pauley said, and I noted this week, a good friend is one who a good friend is not one who consistently draws you closer to them, but one who draws you or seeks to draw you or points you back to the Lord. And that's what that invitation is. Hey, let's gather together. Let's assemble together in the house of the Lord. Let's be together as a church. Why? To promote ourselves? No, so that we get our focus right on Him. The world's going to constantly draw you away. And there's some friends that will say, you don't need it that much. But David was delighted to have that invitation. there are some invitations that will thrill you. That will thrill you. If I said, hey, after church, we're all going over to Cold Stone Creamery, and it's all on me, or it's all on Brother Mike. What a thrilling. Give me the supersized one, right? What a thrilling invitation. If I tell my wife, she's having a bad day, and if I tell my wife, we're going to go thrifting. I know that doesn't help you, some of you, but for my wife, that helps her. Like, it tickles her heart, it blesses her soul, and not just any thrifting, but it's go to the Goodwill, the last stop before the dump, and go find treasures in there. And she, it's not just go up one aisle or go till I find, it is every bin. Have you ever been in the Goodwill on Woodman Lane? Every single bin. And if they bring out more bins while you're there, those bins too. But that cheers her heart. Listen, it ought to cheer our heart to say, hey, let's go up to the house of the Lord. It ought not be a confrontational thing. We ought to be really good at encouraging one another to be in church. Your spiritual growth depends on it. It really does. You say, that sounds like a really self-serving thing for a pastor to say. It would be, except Jesus is the one that created this thing, and he just told me to help lead out and declare truth. And it isn't about having an audience here. I have watched people's spiritual lives go into tailspins. What's really difficult for me as a pastor is to watch people willingly, not because of work or sickness, but willingly stay away from the assembly and then come to me asking counsel for the very things that I've just preached. And so they want my time to help them walk through when if they would have gathered with the saints together, God would have given them exactly what they needed to face that storm. There's a problem with that. And we as a church together need to collectively say, let's be in the house of the Lord. Do we ever get weary about it? Yes. Do I wake up every Sunday morning wanna come to church? There are sometimes I want to stay in bed. You say, no. No, really, really. And then my wife reminds me, you're the pastor, you need to go to church. Right? The reality is we don't always feel things. But we should not reject it when we are being encouraged by one another. Let's be in the house. Let's be in the house of the Lord. Let's gather together. And so David was cheered up by that. He was cheered up by the fellowship, by the prayer that he would get there. He is cheered up by the spiritual strength that would be given at the house of the Lord. And we should be glad too when any invitation comes to us, let's be at the house of the Lord. You know, I'm not in all telling you thou shalt be here on a Monday night. But even the gathering that was just mentioned on a Monday night, we don't always have Monday night gatherings. But you know, that's a time for even believers to gather around a little bit different time, a little bit different emphasis, but a needed emphasis in our day, don't you agree? To embrace life. We're really in quite a battle right now. But even that invitation to come, that would be like, well, wonderful. I get to spend a little bit more time around other believers and around biblical topics and be encouraged in my faith. And any gathering. Now, certainly, some of you have been traveling this year, and I've tried my best purposely to tell you I'm glad that you've gone, not because we want to see you go. But I don't want you to ever feel like, well, they only want us here. They're never happy if we're ever gone. No, you need to go. You need to go take your family vacation. You need to go see the sites. You need to go be with family. I know Brother Mike has been dealing with his dad, and I know you've been praying for him as he lost his dad this past week. But there are times where Mike needed to go, just needed to go, spend time with dad. That's right. We need those moments. But friends, as much as possible, we want to encourage one another. Hey, let's be back. Let's be back once we're here, once we're able. Let's be back and in this place. And there's a kindred company here, and there's a welcome invitation here to continue to grow, and there's encouragement here. You know, Satan tells us that if you just isolate, you'll get through your problems. I can't go to church with this heavy burden on my heart. It's probably the place you need to be. I'm in a fog, a spiritual fog. I can't go. I don't measure up to anyone else. That's Satan talking, friends. I guarantee you. Because God has designed for this to be health-giving. I realize there can be hurts, there can be struggles and all those things. We work through those because we know that Jesus is still working on us. But this is to be a place where we gain life and we gain encouragement from the Lord and from each other. So church made David glad, or I should say, the house of the Lord made David glad because his heart was there. I was glad when they, my friends, said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Wonderful invitation. But notice what it says, go into the house of the, what is it? The house of entertainment? The house, what is it? The house of the Lord. The Lord. David was glad because his God was there. His God was there. Now, we have a unique thing, as I've already described. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But God has designed for us to gather together. And he says, in the assembling of the saints, church is a called out assembly. In the assembly of the saints, that is the house of God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15. And truly, in this gathering, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. I realize that is in the context of dealing with problems within the church. But even in the problems, Matthew 18, even in the conflicts, God says, I am present when there are two or three gathered together. That's a blessed gathering when God is present there, and he promises us that. So David's God was there, and I want us to notice his majestic presence. David said in Psalm 26 and verse 8, Lord, I have loved thy habitation of thy house, the place where thy honor dwelleth. At the Lord's house, David had seen the very presence of the Lord, the visible Shekinah glory of the Lord, the manifest presence of the Lord. There are some times as we sing together or as we are together in prayer or God is meeting with us as the word is being proclaimed, there is something, a presence that is very real, the manifest presence of the Lord. And David says, I've seen that at the house of the Lord. Chapter 62 and verse 63 and verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, and notice, so as I have seen in thy sanctuary. I've been there. I've seen your power displayed. I've seen you working in hearts, in my heart, like no human could. I've seen it. I've seen it displayed in your sanctuary, and I want that over and over and over again. In fact, no words can adequately describe the manifest presence of God. I'm not talking about something spooky. I'm talking about the realization God was meeting with us. God is in that assembly, and God is doing something in our lives. He's working in hearts. We're not just going through motions. We are actually seeing God do something. I got to hear yesterday, and I shared in growth group this morning at 9:30, I got to hear of another young man that had come to Christ over the past year's time by being in this assembly and through the influence of this assembly, and my heart rejoiced. God is working in hearts, and he's leading hearts to find fruitfulness and wholeness and satisfaction in his word and through his people in this place. And what a blessing it is to know God is present and he's working. Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's in God's presence there's joy. There's sometimes you might be joyless walking in, but by the time you leave, there can be a joy in your heart that God instills because you've been in his presence by being in the presence of one another and in the presence of his word. One author said this, you cannot be in the presence of God and bored at the same time. When God is working, it's something that you want to just stay. I was talking to Brother Jonathan Gilmore this past week. He came home from a missions trip to Grenada, and they brought 18 college students down there to Grenada. And he told me on the phone, he says, your church has much to do with this happening. And he says, I want to come back down and explain exactly all that the Lord did during their time down there. He says, but that's because of the influence of Grace Baptist Church. And that's just a truly amazing how God takes little that we can do and blossoms it even further. And God is continuing to work in powerful ways. But the reality is, being down there and seeing God at work on the island, it was very, very difficult to leave. But even in coming back, I have to remind myself, God's working here. And sometimes when we start getting down, well, what's God doing in my life? I'm discouraged. I'm going through this time. To start counting the blessings. What is God doing in lives right here? And you start realizing God's at work. God's doing something. His presence is working in hearts, and it's not a boring thing. The other thing I want to notice in Psalm 73, 16, David said, I was really troubled by all the iniquity that was going on around me. And I was troubled by the wicked go on, and they don't seem to have any judgment. Until I went into the house of the Lord, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You say, Pastor, the news is absolutely depressing. Amen. Yes, it is. And one of the strong reasons that we ought to give more attention to the assemblies of the saints together is because out there, we are confronted constantly with all the wickednesses that are out there. The absolute perversion that is out there. And there's something rejuvenating to our perspective by gathering back together and saying, hold on, God's still working. There's still a remnant. There's still people gathering together that want to praise his name. There's still people that want to get offenses dealt with. There's still people that want to take care of things. They want to spread the gospel. They want to share the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to have harmonious homes. They want to put into practice the word of God. They want to learn more. They want to walk in this truth. And what a rejuvenation to our perspective the house of the Lord is. And so church made David glad because his God was there and his presence was there. It wasn't just his presence, it was his word. His word. Psalm 119, verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. What's spoil? Not spoiled milk. But it's speaking about the spoils or the treasures that are gotten from a war crusade. David understood what it was to go and be at war and to be able to take back some treasures. He says, I've rejoiced in your word more than all the treasures that I could accumulate. I've rejoiced in thy word in that way. He understood those spoils, but he also understood the value of the word of God. Psalm 19 and verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. David desired the word of God more than a paycheck. More than gold. I want the word of God. I want to be in it. I want it to fill my heart. I want it to be a part of my thinking more than I desire to have great wealth. David isn't disparaging great wealth. It's just a value system. What do I love more? Friends, this is invaluable. If we were one of the languages in the world without this, we would know how invaluable this is. But we have it on our phones. We have multiple copies at home. How many of you think you have five or more copies of the Bible at home? Okay. How many of you have it as an app on your phone right now or your device? See, this is most of us right here. We have the Word of God so very accessible. David didn't have it that much. In fact, they had to go up to the house of the Lord. Perhaps as a king, he would have had a scroll. He was supposed to copy down his own copy of the Word of God. That was required of the kings of Israel. Not all of them did it. But he could have had one. Most people would not have had one. They would have had to go up to the house of the Lord to hear it to be read. And how important it is that we would give it value. He says, more desired are the words of God than very gold. But he also said, more desired are they than honey and the honeycomb, than comfort food. Well, Job talked about how he desired the words of God more than his necessary food. So you and I ought to have that same desire for the word of God. And yes, you can read it in your home, and that is important. If you're only relying on what happens here, friends, you will be a weak Christian. God has blessed you with the word of God. Let's read it. Let's be nourished by it. Let's nourish one another with it. Let's come together on Wednesday night at 6:30 and allow that sharing time to be an encouragement to our soul. Even this morning as we gather together in growth groups, some of you have been searching the scriptures about the whosoever wills of scripture, and we are able to nourish one another. What a pleasure it is to gather together and be encouraged in the word of God. There's something that God blesses in the preached and the taught word of God, and we ought to value it as David did. His heart was toward it. He loved being in the house of the Lord because his God was there and his God's word was there. And we ought to love it for the same reason. Years ago, 1950s, Soviet Russia, there were three very brave pastors that called a conference of youth together. They eventually were arrested for this. But the conference of youth was of youth between 18 and 30. I've recommended this book to you before, The Insanity of God. The story comes from that book. If you've not yet read it, some of you have taken me up on this read. It's a little bit unique title, but you'll understand it as you read it, The Insanity of God. But it comes from this book, and this story simply underlines how that this group of 18 to 30-year-old young people had gathered together. They had never owned a Bible, nor a psalm book. All of us own multiples, and all of us have access to many, many hymn books and song books. In fact, you can search on Google, and you can almost get every single hymn in PDF form. It's incredible how much we have at our fingertips today as believers here. So in an offhanded way, the three pastors said, hey, listen, we realize you don't have Bible, hymn books, but we want you over the next week, as we gather together for this conference, we want you to get together in groups, small groups, and we want you to basically share. We want to see how much of the Bible, the gospel specifically, are represented in this group of young adults and hymns. So over the next week, they got together and they shared with one another different parts that they knew. And it all was just an effort by these pastors to see how much Bible truth was present in these young people. It'll be like a game, so every day they did this. And so as they gathered together, it was amazing that these young people, these young adults, had memorized via pages, seeing other people's Bibles, had memorized the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with 12 mistakes. They had memorized hundreds of hymns. And the author said, it became very clear to me in an instant why and how the Christian faith had survived and often thrived under decades of communist oppression in the Soviet Union. I also understood what had enabled so many Russian believers to remain strong and faithful. It was the presence of the truth of God's word. And friends, it's important that as we gather together, we're encouraged in that, but don't let that be your only time in the Word of God. Go to the Word throughout the week. Be in the Word. God has privileged you with this. He has given you Bibles. Be in the Word so that we can continue to strengthen one another. If we came under persecution, would we be that strong? If it was illegal for us to worship together, would we be that strong? Pretty amazing to see their love for the Word of God. Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. What's prophesying? The declaration, the foretelling of the truth. Prophets in the Old Testament were to take from the Lord and give to the people. Now, today, we get to take from the Lord, amen, and continue to give. And there is a prophetic, not in telling the future. Don't go away saying, pastor said, there's a prophetic gift or a prophetic function. What I am saying, there is the declaration of the truth that happens in the assembly of the saints. And we're not to despise that. We're to give ourselves to that. We're to give ear to that. Timothy was told to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And so if he was told to preach the word, there's also the necessity to receive the word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you also that believe. Paul was telling the Thessalonian believers, I rejoice at the fact when we preach, you heard it and you said, amen, we received that as God's word. And they believed it and it effectually worked in you. There's times that people hear preaching, but they don't believe. They say, no, that's just your opinion. Or they say, that's for somebody else. And it doesn't effectually work in them. It effectually works in someone else. I'm amazed how many times people can be blessed by one message and other people walk away saying, there's nothing there. Do you realize the importance of putting faith in what God's word is saying and saying yes to it, obeying him and following after him in that way? Let's love the word of God as David did at the house of God. His God was there. I want you to turn to Acts 2 and verse number 46 as we conclude this morning. The early church is a good example of what we ought to be. It demonstrates what kind of attitude we should have towards the gathering of the saints together. Acts 2 and verse 46. Brother Mike read this morning, Acts 2:46, and I want us to read it out loud together. Acts 2 and verse number 46. Are you all there? Great. Let's read together. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Let's go on. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Friends, there is a connection between believers being glad about what God is doing, the assemblies of the saints, and even our witness. Glad people talk. You find a brand on the store shelves that really intrigues you. Right now, I'm enjoying, this is not an advertisement or a condoning of the company, but I'm really enjoying Bulletproof Coffee. And I've shared that with a few people. I've just really enjoyed it. And it's really easy for me to talk about that because I'm enjoying it. Friends, sometimes people wouldn't believe that you're enjoying church. You haven't made your friends there. It isn't a kindred company. You run in, run out. It's just a thing on the to-do list. And you wonder, why can't I ever get people to come to church? Because your heart isn't just enraptured with it. You haven't found the same joy that David found. I was glad when they said unto me. And my encouragement is, if there's something in the way, if there's something between you and another brother, sister in Christ, get it taken care of. Let's remove that so there can be gladness. If there's something in between you and God, remove that so there can be gladness. If it's a value system thing where you're constantly feeling like church is vying for your time because you've made something else other than God more valuable, let's adjust that. Let's adjust it so that your heart can be glad. And truly, I think it ought to be our testimony. Wouldn't you agree with me? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Don't you think that ought to be our testimony? I want that to be my testimony all the time, even as a pastor. Sometimes even in coming here, there's burdens that I'll hear, and those can get on my heart, and they can weigh me down. And I'm praying through them and asking the Lord for strength with the people involved. But the reality is, I want my heart to be gladdened every time I come here. I want it to be glad to be here, and I want your heart to be glad to be here. Not because we're something special. We're not. We don't got it all together. We're far from that. Wouldn't you agree? We don't have it all together. But there's something that God's doing here. And let's like David be able to testify. I was glad. So if there's anything in the way of that gladness, I want you to get that dealt with today. If you just need to ask the Lord, I'm not as glad as I ought to be, and I don't know what's going on, but I'd sure love for the invitation to your house to make me glad again. And you know what? I think God will help you with that. I really do. So let's pray and spend some time in prayer this morning. Would you bow with me? I am going to first ask, do you know that Jesus is your Savior? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? If you were to die tonight, 5 years from now, are you confident that you'll spend eternity with Jesus in heaven because you've placed your trust, your faith in Him alone? You say, Pastor, I'm not trusting in anything else. I'm not trusting in church attendance. I'm not trusting in a baptism. I am trusting in Jesus Christ. What He did for me at the cross when He died for my sins. He was buried 3 days and rose again the third day. I believe He's my only way to heaven. There's no other way to heaven. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. I have trusted Him. I remember that moment. I remember back to the time that I trusted Him. I know with confidence that I'm saved. You say, Pastor, that's my testimony. I know for certain that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand good and high? Amen. If you're not able to raise your hand, number one, I would just want you to know that I'm not going to point you out, but I want you to know that Jesus cares about your soul. And He wants you to be a part of His church. That starts with coming to know Him as Savior. This is His body. The church is made up of saved and baptized individuals. He wants you to be a part of this wonderful thing. But it starts with that step of trusting Him. The invitation, if you would like to know how you can be saved and know that for certain, know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and on your way to heaven, I invite you to come and we'll pair you with a man with a man, woman with a woman, just to show you from the Bible, answer any questions that you have, how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. I always say, Pastor, Sometimes I do struggle with this matter of just being glad. Sometimes I have allowed it just to become a drudgery, something that I just have to do. But I see from the life of David that I ought to be glad like him. And I want that same testimony as David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You say, God's worked in my heart about that. And you'd raise your hand onto that. God's worked in my heart about that. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? God's working in my heart about that. Let's stand. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to not only make decisions here that would honor you, but Lord, to take steps to make it real, to put it into practice. And so we pray for that. If there's anyone that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they have the boldness, the courage to get that taken care of today, that they would place faith in you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. With our heads bowed, find a place to pray. Let's talk to the Lord before we leave today. Lord, I don't know what's necessarily in the way, but I want that same delight, that gladness. He'll help you. Talk to him, share all your burden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.